Amen. Good morning, church. Good to be with you all again this morning. Praise his name. You'd be out in God's house this morning. You know, like I said, you know, time flies. Christmas is already over, and we're heading into 2026. And, you know, first off, I want to thank everybody for the cards and the gifts that you've given me and given my family. Thank you all for that. And if I don't say it enough, I just really do. I really appreciate all of you for that. You know, I say this every year about this time of year. You know, you just look around and see how probably things have changed in your life from this time last year to this time today. And, you know, and I say that not because, you know what, it could be good, it could be bad, but, you know, things change. Enjoy the moment that you're in. Today is the day of salvation, right? If you're here, you're lost this morning. You know, Jesus died to save your soul. I can't say that right there should be the greatest message anybody preaches right there. And you know, he did. But you know what? You can enjoy, just look around, enjoy your family, enjoy what life has done for you. But you know, just enjoy. I often say, just take a look around, take a snapshot in your mind if you can, because you know what? Things will change. Things change. And let's just praise God today for what he's done for us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be over Mark, the 7th chapter. If you want to turn there with me, 7:15, Mark, the 7th chapter, the 15th verse. And if you can, when you get there, please stand this morning, and we'll read in honor of God's word. Mark 7:15. And the scripture tells us, there is nothing from without a man that entering in unto him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. It's pretty simple, is it not? Pretty simple scripture. You know, the grass withers. I'm going to start reading this after every bit of scripture. But the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God's going to do what? It's going to stand forever. And this is his word is true. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, I come just thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity. Lord, I have to be in your house again one more time. Thanking you, Lord, for what you've done and how you've blessed, Lord. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the message would go out the way that you would have it. I pray, Father, that you'd get me out of the way as always, Lord. I pray, Father, for the anointing this morning. And, Father, we will give you the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. I brought me a prop this morning. This is from the Christmas gift you guys gave me out of the fruit basket, by the way. Thank you for that. Again, I thank you for that. But now, if I was to squeeze this orange, and I was to squeeze it, you know, fairly decent, what would come out of this orange eventually? Orange juice, right? That's because that's what I'm saying. And you know, you said right, it'd be orange juice. Now, if I was to ask you, if I was to squeeze it harder, and I was to squeeze it harder and rub it and squeeze it, what's going to come out of this? What's going to come out of here? Orange juice. Not going to be pineapple. Not going to be apple. It doesn't matter how hard I squeeze it. Doesn't matter. It's still going to be orange juice. And that's what you say. And if I'd ask you, and I continue on doing it, the only thing that's going to come out of this is orange juice. Because why? It's an orange. Right? It's an orange. And I thought about that as I was down through the week as I was looking at this. You said, and the answer is, that's the truth. You squeeze the orange, and that's what's on the inside of this thing is orange juice. Orange juice, that's what's on the inside of it. Like I said, it doesn't matter how hard I squeeze it. No matter what I do to it, apple juice is not going to come out of this thing. It's just going to be orange juice. Now, I tell you that, I want to take this metaphor just a little bit farther because I want to use it for each of us in here this morning. Now, if someone squeezes you and puts pressure on you and says something to you that you don't like, it may be offensive, it may be something, it may be whatever, what would come out of you? Would it be anger? Would it be hatred? Would it be, maybe it comes out of you, maybe judgment sometimes. Criticism, condemnation. Maybe that's what comes out of you. Maybe that does. What comes out? Maybe sometimes fear comes out of you. I'm throwing some things out there. This is just a metaphor that I'm throwing out there to you. Out of you comes all kind of stuff because you've been squeezed. Because you've been put under pressure. And you know what? You don't like being squeezed. You don't like it. Now, if this orange could talk, if it could talk, if this thing right here could talk, you know, it would. You think it would tell you that because I'm squeezing it, it's my fault that orange juice comes out of it? I don't think so, because it's what's on the inside of it. It's what's on the inside of it. Now, you may have been squeezed, and maybe your first line of thought would be to blame the person that squeezed you. Maybe it's your first line of thought to blame it on that person. Well, it's that person's fault that I got angry. It's that person's fault that I'm going to criticize. It's that person's fault that I'm going to gossip. But you know what? Just like this orange, no. I squeezed it and orange juice comes out because that's what's on the inside of it. And if somebody squeezes you and upsets you, and what comes out of you is all manner of stuff other than what should come out of you, it's not Greg's fault that I get mad. It may be Greg's fault that he did the squeezing. But whose fault is it if stuff comes out of it? Out of me, it's mine. I hope you're getting the point that I'm trying to come across with here this morning. I hope you are. You may have been, you know, listen, it's what's that. Now, you may be here this morning and believe in your heart that that person that squeezed you is at fault. And like I said, in all honesty, listen, I'm not going to say it's not your fault that they squeezed you, because they're wrong in it too. But would you agree with me this morning that if I lash out in a way that's not the way the Bible says to lash out, guess whose fault that is? Guess what's inside of me? Jesus said in Matthew 15, 19, and 20, and you know this scripture, for out of the heart proceedeth what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. In verse 20, these are the things which do what? They defileth a man. He also said in Luke 6:45, he said this, of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? The mouth. Now, I'm not going to try to judge anybody up here, because Dave Long's got enough of his faults. I got enough faults up here to handle this whole church. But listen, out of the abundance of the heart, what comes out, it's what's in here. You get that? Beware. In Matthew 7, 17 and 18, I got a lot of scripture, but you know, you can write it down if you want to look at it a little bit later, but it says this, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And ye shall know them by their fruits. Now get this. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Did you get that? And neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. When someone is put under pressure, their true nature is going to come out. It's going to come out. A wolf cannot deny himself. Did you understand that? A wolf may act like something different for a little bit, but eventually that wolf's nature is going to take over. It's going to take over. He can deceive for a little bit, but eventually hunger will take over, and that wolf's going to act like a wolf. Look at the, you know, what he's trying to say. Look at the fruit for the long-term evidence of what something is about. Look at the fruit for the long-term evidence. And he will act like a wolf. Eventually, he will go back to his true nature, because that's what's inside of him. That is what's inside of that wolf. And what Jesus is saying, in time, false preachers, false teachers, and false Christians will show themselves. They will show themselves. They can't help it. They'll show their true colors. It is inevitable. Will you agree with me on this? That some dangers don't look dangerous. Have you ever been that? Have you ever seen that? Some things that are really dangerous sometimes don't look dangerous. They don't. That's just part of the things. I mean, I know up work when I was working, there was things up there that you wouldn't think they just looked as innocent as all get out. And Greg knows this from working in a plant than anybody's ever worked in a plant. There are some things that look innocent. Man, they can kill you right now. Some dangers look gentle. Some look humble. Even some look even holy. A false prophet won't shout out their deception. They don't do that. They won't shout it out. They blend in and they appear helpful. They may be convincing, even using the word of God to convince you that they are right and that everything's just hunky-dory. But Jesus said, abide your time, for by your fruits you will know them. Because they're incapable of bearing good fruit. That's just the point of it is. You watch and see, because in time is on your side. And evidently, I'm telling you, a wolf, and you'll see what a wolf is all about, and see whether or not a bad tree bears good fruit, because it won't. Christianity is not performance. It's a relationship. Can I have an amen? Amen. Amen. You know, Christianity, you can fool the people for a while. But brothers and sisters, if you've got a relationship with God, it's going to show. And if you've got a relationship with the devil, it's going to show. It will show. It will come out. Because you can't help it. You just can't help it. Jesus gives a clear, real example of this, of the parable of the wheat and the tares, does he not? When he talks about how things may look good, and he said they look until it comes to harvest. He said, let them grow together, the wheat and the tares. He said, let them grow together. And he said this, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reaper, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. But when fruit season is over, brother said, you won't see the fruit whenever it's due, if it's bad fruit, if it's tares. That tells me, I had a thing in my Bible years ago. It's one of my old Bibles. I have it in there. It's still in the back of it. Matter of fact, I get it out and I look at it once in a while. Where they did this survey, and I've told this in here, this church before, I don't know where they did this survey, but this is from many, many years before the internet, before all this stuff was there. But I cut it out and I wrote it. It was in a magazine I used to get. It said that 95% of the people that go to church that say they're Christians are not. And I thought, man alive, that's an awful lot, isn't it? But I cut it out and I kept it in the back of my Bible. And I kept it back here and I said, I'm not up here to judge anybody. That's why I'm telling you, you need a relationship, not a performance. You need to make sure that the Holy Spirit is living within you. Not because you stand and say all kind of glowing words, and not because your speech is good, and not because of this, and not because of that. Brothers, hey, you need to know for sure that Jesus Christ is in here. I can't come back and hold your hand and and tell you that you're a Christian. I can't, or you can't come up here and shake my hands and me tell you you're a Christian. That's not what it's about. I'm telling you, let me tell you whenever the Lord saved me, and I've used this as my testimony. When I got on my knees in that breezeway at that little church in Mannington, West Virginia, when I got on my knees and got down and got saved, there was no doubt in my mind that I got saved. And you know, sitting here this morning, Lord, God is your judge, not me. You know where you stand with between you and your God here this morning. Now, you can fake and you can fool your spouse. You can fool everybody in this church. You can fool me. But can I tell you something? It's not me or your spouse you better worry about. It's the God we serve. Because one day, you will stand before a just and a righteous God. You may be young in here this morning and you think you've got lots of time. And Lord, I hope you have 80, 90, 100 years. I hope that you do. But 80 and 90 and 100 years is going to go by pretty fast. And one day, you will be looking at eternity. And I ask you, and I beg you this morning, understand this. Understand this. It is a relationship, not somebody trying to fool you. A transformed life in Christ is not merely a change of behavior. There is, don't get me wrong, but it's not merely that. It's a profound inward transformation. It's profound. When it says in verse 23, and I'll read back up, let's read Galatians 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is Greg, I heard Greg mention this earlier whenever we was in our teaching. But these are the fruits of the Spirit. These is what should be in us and come out of us. And it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Then it goes on verse 23, meekness, temperance. Now listen to the last part. A lot of people read that first part of this, but they don't understand the last part of it. Against such there is no law. You know what that means? You can't do that by yourself. You can't. I cannot. I do not have those things in me by myself. I could say, New Year's is coming up. We grab these New Year's resolutions all the time. Well, I'm going to be a better person this year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We say those things. Can I tell you something? Those things right there that I just read, those come by the Spirit of God. Amen. You could make a New Year's resolution and you could break that thing 3 days later. Amen. Somebody cuts you off at a light. Somebody doesn't. You know what I'm saying. Listen to me. The fruits of the Spirit you cannot fake. You cannot do it. It's a profound transformation on the inside. That's telling you and I, you do the change. You can't do the change on your own. It's not a work of human effort. Do you understand that? All the human effort you try to put into that, a wolf is going to be a wolf. And eventually, that wolf nature is going to come out. The work of the Holy Spirit that is in every born-again Christian. That's what gives you. You see, just like the wolf is going back to what it instinctively does, you can't change yourself on your own. Ephesians 2:3 says it best. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past. We all were lost. We were all out of that security of God. Conversation, time passed in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You get that? And were by nature. That's in every one of us. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Folks, it's in our nature to sin whenever we're born into this world. You do know that. The only thing that takes that out of here is right there whenever he died upon that cross. You cannot consistently have the works of the fruit of the Spirit in your life without the Spirit of God in there. We're either self-centered or we're Christ-centered. That's it. There's no in-between on this. We're either self-centered or we're Christ-centered. You're one or the other here this morning. That's in us. Will eventually come out. What's in us will come out. It has no choice but to come out. It has no choice. Folks, an orange will give you orange juice. If it gives anything else, it's not an orange. Just because someone seems to be saying the right words or seems to be doing the right thing, remember the words of Jesus. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Don't be fooled by anyone that uses his name. Don't be fooled. Not everyone that looks spiritual is who they say they are. It's on the inside. It's not what to... I mean, brother, I remember people saying, I remember old Russell Kearns and them talking about this, sitting in front of church and Russell and them talking about it. It's not how high you jump and how much you praise and shout. It's how you live your life once your feet hit the ground. Are you living what Christ says for you to live on the inside? That's what he's saying. Man, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that can fool you. Not everyone's voice that sounds holy is set by God. Don't be impressed by appearance is what I'm trying to say. Don't be impressed by that. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that can impress you by their appearance. The Bible tells us that even the devil can disguise himself. We know the scripture. And sometimes he appears as an angel of light. You know what? Something good and righteous and true. He can appear as that to deceive people. Jesus even said, don't be fooled by even those who use his name. Jesus uses another parable that illustrates the point in Matthew 7, the parable of the wise builder. You all know that parable. We all know it. Two people build a house. Both look sturdy to begin with, don't they? Both of them look sturdy. Both look stable. Both look successful. They got them built. They look like they are, right? But when the big squeeze comes, when the storms hit them, the truth was revealed. Listen, the house on the rock, the life that was built upon the Word of God and stands upon that, what did it say happened? It stood firm. It stood firm against the storms of life that came. It may have been battered. We don't know. It may have been this. It may have been that. But it stood. It stood. The house on the sand, which I wrote down, it says that was built on fillings and on the culture. It was built on pride and worldly wisdom. It was built on all that stuff. It collapsed under pressure. And the message is simple. A faith that doesn't transform you, the way you live will show. Amen? It's a faith that won't withstand the storms of life. Storms, listen to me, storms don't destroy strong foundations. They just reveal them. I've said this many times. I look around this church and I know some people in this church that have faced some pretty big storms. You know what? They didn't go run. They didn't leave God. They didn't do this. You know what? They're still sitting in this church this morning. Because why? Because when the storms come and whenever they were squeezed, what come out of them was what should have come out of them. Amen. 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 Praise his name. Listen, storms don't destroy the foundation. They reveal what you're about. Exactly. Now, I wish I could tell you that you wouldn't face a storm this year. I wish that I could tell that to you and be confident in telling that to you. I'd be lying to you if I said that here this morning. Because I do not know what anybody in this church is going to face. It may be disease. It may be a death. It may be financial. I do not know what you're going to face in 2026. But can I tell you something? If you got your foundation built to where it should be built, the ship, you know, Stephanie sings a song that says, the ship, the bows are battered, the ship's battered. But you know what? It's still going on. Now, what is good fruit? A life that reflects the character of Jesus. Would you agree with me with that? Words that will always align with the scripture. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And the actions match their message. Man, I tell you what, the church world needs a whole lot less hypocrites, don't they, Dalton? Absolutely. The church world needs a lot less hypocrites. And I'm here to tell you, there's a bunch of them out there. There is a bunch of them out there. But praise God, you know what? Action to master. John 13:15. For I have given unto you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. The church, you know, another characteristic of good fruit is humility, not pride. For whatsoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You know what? Christian fruit that comes out of us, all that spiritual fruit and everything, we will be a humble people. We will be humble. Service, not self-promotion. Jesus was a servant. He was a servant. He sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And we need transformation, not manipulation. I hope and pray you understand. I don't stand up here and preach to try to manipulate anybody. I want to lay it out there, and I want you to understand what the Word of God is. In Romans 12:2, it says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. True faith is shown in how you live, not on how loudly you speak. What was it in the scripture? It talks about how if someone comes asking you for bread and you just pat them on the back and send them away, elite, and tell them, well, go ahead and go be fed and don't do anything about it. Listen, there's an old saying that's true. Our actions speak louder than our words. Christians, our actions speak way louder than what our words are. They speak way louder than that. If you're going to say something, make sure you back it up with doing what you're going to do. True faith is shown in how you live. John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen? I'm going to have Belinda come get a song. Now, I still got my little orange up here. I still got it. Listen to me. If you're squeezed today, this week, and believe you me, you're going to be squeezed. Someone's going to turn your crank, push your button, however you want to say it. They're going to do it. Let me ask you a question. What's going to come out? It may be hard. What's going to come out of you? Orange juice, absolutely. What about the fruits of the Spirit? What about that? Praise God this morning. You know what? We have this altar up here, and it's going to be open. I'm not going to stand up here and try to judge you, but if you have a need here this morning, come to this altar and give it to Him. Amen.